Welcome to the Balanced Perspective Podcast, where we're going to be challenging perspectives on what it actually takes to become successful in business and in life every single week. I'm Terri Ann Richards, your friendly neighborhood serial entrepreneur and your guide to growing an impact-driven business, fueling both your community and your life at home. Enjoy this episode. Hey, y'all, this is Terri Ann Richards, and you are listening to The Balanced Perspective. I'm here with my guest, Gabriel Basque, who is an executive coach with LMI Atlantic. His greatest passion is in helping people surpass their limiting beliefs of what is possible for them. Welcome, Gabe.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. I'm really excited to have you on the show. I mean, I'm excited every time someone comes on the show, but I'm a little more excited today to have you on the show because we've just gone through this 6-month journey of me graduating through the effective, well, I suppose I'd not graduate it yet if I'm being completely honest, because I didn't do my presentation, folks. So when you finally do get to listen to this podcast episode, I just became a grandmother. Yes, you did hear that correctly. I am 36 years old, folks, and I am a grandma. And so last week, my daughter gave birth to a beautiful little boy named Levi. He's 6 pounds, 1 ounce. And he came around the same time as my graduation for effective personal productivity through LMI Atlantic in Moncton, New Brunswick. And part of the process of graduating is you need to show up in front of your peers and give a presentation. So I have yet to give that presentation. Maybe a little bit of procrastination. That's probably why I got stuck on my P words for a second. Because I'm a little nervous just because that's, you know, that's me.
That's a problem.
It is a problem. But he's, see, this is the beauty of Gabe. You're all going to learn the Gabe that I know, where he challenges and pokes sort of the status quo and definitely helps to shift perspective. So I'm very excited to have you here. A little nervous just because I know you're poking at me, you know, through the eyeballs right now. I can see you on the Zoom call. So, but welcome to the show. So before we, you know, talk all things, you know, passion and leadership and purpose, which I know are definitely topics that you're very passionate about and excited about, I'd really like to sort of unpack or discover a little bit of the journey that took you to becoming an executive coach with LMI. So if you would maybe just unpack a little bit of your journey, that would be awesome.
Yeah, sure. So most people don't know this about me, but I grew up, you could say, almost poverty. So I know the feeling of having someone at your doorstep with a box of food. So that definitely grew some character in me. My mom had me, she was 16, and my father was a farmer working crazy hours, working 100 to 120 hours work week, cutting tobacco in tobacco field in Saint-Anne-de-Kent. After high school, I graduated in correctional. So I used to be a correctional officer at 19 years old. This was in, 2009, I guess, 2010. I was only 20 years old, and I'll be completely honest. At that age, I was completely lost. I've lost my ways. I was extremely immature, and I was, you could almost say, a jerk. I got laid off as a correctional officer. I would have probably fired myself because I was doing stuff that was not right to do. And I was, at that, went to a complete downward spiral throughout 2010. I was laid off for 12 months. I was drinking, partying. I bought a $32,000 car, Nissan Altima, which I still don't know how I got that finance. I just got a divorce / I was engaged with someone previously before Julie. So we set apart. I was living alone in a basement apartment up Hennessy area, which I could not afford. There's even a time I was like, I'm not moving back to Bactouche. So I literally look on Kijiji for a place to live. And I was like, I got to find a room. So I moved into with a random family and their home, which was extremely weird and awkward. But I didn't want to go back home. So that was really in the one of the lows in my life, which I was, again, drinking and partying. But that's when I start to seeking inwards for answers. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this is not what I signed up for. Like, am I going to be reliving the life I've had as a child? I said, hell no. Like, I'm going to change this right now. And I make the decision to continuously improve myself on a daily basis since then. And it's been 9 years, but it all started by seeking my passions, which is people and fitness. And that's when I became a coach at the age of 21. And then everything else was then history.
Wow. It's quite interesting to me, the amount of conversations I can have with people who are, you know, at this point in their life, regardless of age, living in a space of, you know, joy and abundance within their career, but they first had to crash. They first had to fall. They had to falter. They had to have a couple missteps to really, you know, push them on the path that they're actually supposed to be on. Do you feel that it's because of your upbringing, because of the hardship, because of the poverty, and the literally losing everything that you had at one point put so much value on? You know, you talk about buying an expensive car and living in an expensive part of town and sort of trying to live in this image, probably almost in, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, in defiance of the poverty you once have, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking from, you know, my own experiences of living in poverty and then at one point just trying to do it all and kind of live in the limelight because yeah. You're doing it in defiance of what you didn't have when you were younger. Do you feel like all of that mm-hmm. has helped to push you and mold you on going that much more inward so that you could live the life you live today?
Yeah, well, hardship happens for two main reasons, increase in fate and growing character. So through life, there's different seasons with a different purpose. And I've personally been through a lot of hardship. And the byproduct of a hardship is a growth of fate and a growth in character. And it's really important to acknowledge and know because I embrace when life gets hard because I know I'm growing more in those specific times than when life actually is easy. So there's three fundamentally stages throughout my 20s that made me into a better person so I could grow more to my own true God-given potential. There's the 2010, there's the 2014, September 16, 2014. That's when John C. Maxwell came to Moncton, to the Moncton Wesleyan Church, and that's when I didn't discover my purpose. I received my purpose through John C. Maxwell, which is to help people achieve a God-given potential. And then the following morning at 5 a.m., randomly woke up and I started receiving random information. And then I wrote my purpose, my ability, my legacy, my values, my visions, my goals. And I never woke up at 5 a.m. prior, but it was just that time that just, it shook me deeply and it completely shifted my ways because I was growing up the good life ladder, but I made a decision to quit and then to start full-time with CBET LMI. And that was a tipping point. And the third time was, well, when I personally decided to make a decision to follow Jesus, March 27, 2018, 8:01. So it's been a bit over 2 years that I've been on that journey. But those are the three time specifically that I had massive growth in how I see myself and who I want to become and what I've been inspired to do with the remaining of my life.
It's interesting how you sort of break it out into these three areas where there's been either struggle or there's been some sort of a receiving of information, right? And I think, you know, anyone who's listening has had those moments of like great creativity or just like, where in goodness name did this idea just come from, right? And then, you know, just right time, right place, you know, right people around you and boom, now all of a sudden you got it, right? So there's a few things there that I'd like to unpack. So you become a personal fitness trainer and you go down that path and you start moving through sort of, I would say almost like you were getting your training, right? Through the ranks of becoming the person that you are today. And then you make this radical decision. So once upon a time you were a correctional officer and you lose your job because you were a quote unquote jerk. And then you've started working towards your passions of helping people and coaching people and you're a personal trainer. And then you get a message, and we'll say through God, the universe, regardless of what people believe in, he got a message, folks, from something that was bigger than him. And then you quit? You just quit your job? Like, boom?
Well, it's obviously gradual, but when I knew why I was here and what I'm called to do, and I, at the core, I'm an evangelist. And at that specific time, I didn't really understood, because I didn't actually have any beliefs. I was a complete atheist at that specific time, knowing there's anything out there that helps me or guides me, because I've lost my way through that. So this is in 2014.
So how old would you have been, Gabe, at that point?
24.
So 24 years old, well, let's say pre-24, you were an atheist and then you found God. That is a big leap. That's a giant leap. Like, I've certainly, you know, I was raised Catholic and I've been dipping my toe in the water of God my entire life, right? And you know, I'm always in, I'm never out. That's the truth. But I've always just sort of been like in ish, right? Because I don't know everything, so I'm a little nervous, right? And we've had many conversations which have certainly enlightened me, and I've bought many books that I have still need to finish. What's that book again? The Driven something?
Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren.
Okay. And so here's the cool thing though, because I believe in like serendipity, and I believe in like just sort of like the staircase effect in life, right? And so you, amongst like 8 other individuals, like commercials I've seen on ads on social media, have all pointed me towards this book. So like, I know I'm supposed to read this book. I honestly believe I'm living my purpose. I'm certainly very passionate, and I feel like I'm making, you know, very big impact. But this book has just showed up so many times over the last few years. So I am excited to finally finish it. I'm like halfway through, which is pretty cool, right? Okay. So you make the decision to go over, and you obviously make comment of Steve. And for those of you obviously who don't know who Steve is, Steve Daniels, he's actually a guest on one of our upcoming shows here on the Balanced Perspective podcast. He is the owner of LMI Atlantic in Moncton, New Brunswick, and a wonderful human, a wonderful leader, and certainly a great mentor to folks like myself. And I'm going to assume Gabe as well. So you make the decision to go from where you were to switching over to LMI and becoming an executive coach to leaders. Now, I'm going to speak from my own experience of how I felt when I first made the switch to start working with people who were in, you know, leadership spaces, you know, CEOs, people who were making, you know, 10, 20, 30 times more than I was making. Can you talk a little bit about the mindset shift that you had to make to be able to, you know, effectively lead people who might have been living, you know, the life that you've wanted to live for 10 years, or might have, you know, 20 years experience in their role? Can you talk a little bit about what you had to do to shift your mindset to get ready for that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's two ideas that stands out for me for sure. Number one is, in my first 12 months of working with LMI, I was successfully rejected over 800 times.
Did you just say successfully rejected?
Over 800 times in 12 months.
What a positive spin.
So I've always had about 18 to 24 coaching conversations on a weekly basis consistently, which is the average was 73 a month. So I was successfully rejected over 800 times in my first 12 months, which led me to learn that if I'm not confident in myself, they'll never be confident in what I have to prescribe for them. And as my confidence grew, and I've, by knowing more that I was already fully qualified to serve anyone in my life, because they're in my life for a reason, obviously. When that switch flick, it was a game changer. And now it's like, obviously I've more clients, I guess, get signed up last month than I had my whole first 12 months in being a coach with LMI. But what, and I guess the how to, I came to that conclusion is, I was like, oh, what makes me a great coach? And I looked to July 2011, which was my first month as a coach. And I was working ridiculous hours, like 75 hours a week, coaching like 35 consultations a week, with good life, which hence why, one reason why I got nominated Top Trainer in Canada, because of the results I produced in my first year. But I reflected on the first ever client I coached, which was Mel. She was 31 years old, really feeling not that great in her life. She was physically extremely overweight. She was 263 pounds. But in 12 months, she lost 100 pounds, ran a 5K 6 months after she ran a half marathon. So that's the first ever client I coached, and there's countless of examples like this. But the reason why I'm sharing this is because when I've asked her, so Mal, like you couldn't afford me. So why did you actually sign up? She said, well, there's two reasons. I was more scared about the number on the scale than I was scared about the number on the PT calculator, which was her prescription thing we use with Good Life. And then secondly, she shared me this profound idea is, I felt like you believe more in me than I believe in myself. So then that's when I decided to then, well, that's what makes me a great coach. Like, I have a ability to believe more in people than they can believe themselves. So as my belief in people grew, it didn't really matter what I can and cannot do, because I'm not the one doing the work. Like, I'm not the expert in their field. So I just had to be there and to care more for people and to show up fully my true authentic self, and then everything else then felt in the right place.
Isn't that true, though, at the end of the day, that the reality of a coach is, it really has nothing to do with the resume behind them. It has everything to do with the person that shows up as a coach, the questions that they're asking, and the belief that they have in you as a client, and the abilities you have to achieve, you know, the ultimate of successes, whatever that success is for you, right? So, and I can certainly, attribute a lot of some of my shifts even over the last 6 months, actually probably 12 months, because we've definitely been working together for about a year, to the conversations we have. You're definitely a challenging coach, and you're very good at poking the bear. And I am definitely a big bear when it comes to being a client of a coach. So it's fun as a coach being coached by another coach, right? Because, it pushes you to level up, but it dramatically shifts my perspective on a regular basis of what it means to show up authentically and with lots of love for a client. And so you're definitely good at that. So kudos to you for that. So I want to shift just a tad. So I follow you on social media. I watch your personal and your professional pages. And a lot of the conversations you have on there focuses a lot on, you know, love and leadership, right? Yeah. And, you know, I've been in business for over 16 years. And, you know, I can honestly say that love hasn't been a word or like a pathway or a process that we've, you know, by nature take in terms of leadership in business. But you like sort of, you shout that stuff from the rooftop on a regular basis. I'd like to kind of, you know, especially when you say you were a jerk at one point, right? And I can't even fathom what that even, like, what did Gabe the jerk really look like?
Punching holes in a wall, like really, like, anyway.
But that's wild, right? To think, you know, and again, like when you're listening to this episode, folks, like think about where you are in your life right now and how complicated things may be. I think the beauty of what I'm hearing right here is you can change, right? Like it all comes down to choices. And obviously, Gabe, you made a decision, a choice. It wasn't easy, you know, took some time, but you know, I don't know Gabe the jerk. And again, I can't even fathom what Gabe the jerk would look like. Someday you should show me a picture of that jerk so I can, you know, have a mental picture of what he would look like in case you ever show up again as a jerk. I can hold you accountable.
Yeah, perfect.
But, you know, in terms of, you know, what you're pushing out there, it's not something you naturally see in business. And so I'd really like to, you know, get an understanding of, you know, how you got the guts to start posting this as a leadership coach about love.
Yeah, exactly. It's really simple. Religion aside, there was a guy 2,000 years ago that lived for 33 years. And he lived his 33 years loving people. And he came here and literally said that, never mind about that religion stuff. Follow me and love people. and that's what you're called to do. Mm-hmm. And that's how I decide to live my own life, is because I know the greatest commandment is to love the Lord and love your neighbors as yourself. And that's really the purpose of life, is to love people around you unconditionally. And that's the hard part. Loving, my personal mission is to love people, the world, unconditionally. So I know that I'm called to love, and what's what's important to understand, which few people understand, the definition of love. People think love is a feeling, which is not. Love is a choice. So love is an action. Love is a verb. Love is gentle. Love is patient. Love is forgiven. So love is more of an action than an actual noun. So love is really key for us as a human being, human species, planet, culture, community, to understand fully. Because I'll share something I've been meditating on for years from a guy that's one of the gurus in yoga. He's like, first, like, how does it go? It goes, see the world as love, treat people with love, and become love. So quite profoundly amazing. But when you went, because I've been conditioning myself for obviously 2 years or so to become more love. And fruits of love is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And through becoming more of those qualities, then everything seems to be fitting in the right place. And it's a big piece of it's servant leadership. Back to the guy I was talking about, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, like that's the embryo of true servant leadership. Like he gave his life for us. Like how much more of a giver could you be? Like I don't know, I wouldn't have a hard time giving my life for the whole world, but yeah. He did 2,000 years ago. If you believe or not, he's still actually done it. It's the most scientifically proven fact in the history of the world. So believe or not, it's still something he has personally done like 2,000 years ago.
So why do you think it's so difficult for love to be a word or a action that we have at the front of the way in which we show up as leaders and entrepreneurs?
We're selfish. It's so plain and simple. We're so selfish as a human being because we were given one big thing, which is the ability to decide. We're giving the choice, because without the choice, love would never exist. Mm-hmm. Because if by having love, which is love is a choice, then if we would not have the choice, then there would be no love, because we would just be like soldiers instead of friends.
So what has putting love first, and again, you know, religion aside and sort of looking at this from the perspective of how you show up as a coach, as a leader, as a community member, how has love changed your business?
Yeah, it's completely changed, because it's about unconditionally giving and serving and providing a gift in all and every area in my life. So a gift is giving something with no expectation. And I am more than ever able, because it's less about me, because I'm just here for a greater cause. So showing up and loving, actually loving, not loving the feeling, but loving the action, I then have more the ability just to be here and then to be raw, real, and just like, hey, let's talk about whatever, right? But people get the sense that I'm really just here to, help them out. Instead, before, of being extremely selfish and always having an underlying motive in all of my actions without even knowing it, because it was all subconsciously, because of my insecurity. It's definitely a game changer for sure.
It's interesting, you know, I think the most succinct way to say that is like when you show up and serve, right? With your, you know, your God-given gifts and talents, great things happen and impact happens, and not just on the people you're serving, but on your life, right? It's fluid. It bounces back from them and onto you. And I've certainly witnessed it. I have countless amount of guests that have come on this show and, you know, folks that I've had the pleasure of meeting over the years that, you know, when you live in your purpose and you just show up every day with your talents and your skills, great things happen on both ends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not like, again, it's to talk. I just had that conversation yesterday with someone. I'm like, with a client, I'm like, never mind about that religious stuff. Like, just focus on that relationship, and then everything else will fall into place. And if you do believe in higher power, universe, energy, blah, 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 obviously I use God because I believe in God as the actual name. So if you keep God first, he'll bring you places you haven't been before. And I've never looked back. And I'm not saying that you can't achieve success in your life without having that relationship with God. As a matter of fact, you can, but it all depends on how you define success. Some of the most wealthiest people on the planet is extremely miserable. In my opinion, it's because that relationship is struggling.
Yeah. So, you know, I obviously believe a lot of what molds us are these pivotal moments, these experiences that have happened throughout our life that really dictate the human that we get to show up as. Is there a specific pivotal moment for you that you attribute a lot of who you are today?
Well, there's definitely those three areas from 2010, 2014, 2018. But the biggest one, I'll be honest, it is on the lines of making that decision of to accept Jesus for who he is and who he was and what he has done. So accepting his forgiveness for what he has done. So that completely changed everything, because leading up to that, like I have, like this is an example, like I'm obviously, I'm big in journaling. So this is since 2013, 14. So when I look in those journals and that specific time, 2018, which is not that long ago, like I was literally, January 16 is my birthday. So on my birthday, literally crying like for help, like this, what's happening? Like that, I need help. Like I need someone out there, help me out. Literally crying. I'm like, I'm soon going to have a second child. I have Luke at home. I'm not paying my bills. I'm about to file a bankruptcy. I'm like, just an actual wreck. And I've asked for help and ask you and you shall receive. And eventually I've came to the conclusion when I was against the wall and I said that I surrender. Like I had enough.
Wow.
And then since then, well, it's just, again, the rest is history.
Absolutely. So in terms of how you show up for, you know, leaders and entrepreneurs in the capacity as an executive coach, what are some of the common areas that you find most of us struggle in terms of, you know, our personal power, our leadership, and just our overall satisfaction with the way our life is? Like, what are the areas that you see most common?
Well, there's definitely many areas, but the way I would like to prioritize that question would be answering this question, which is knowing self. Most leaders, they kind of have an idea where they're heading, so their destination, their goal, and they have somewhat of a plan. And most of the time, they're not executing on that plan because they haven't been LMI'd yet. That's a different story. But before knowing where you're heading or how you're going to get there, you first need to know your A, and your A is where you're at. So you have a solid foundation baseline. So then when you're making the walls on your house, you actually have a foundation that can support the walls that you'll be building. So knowing self is fundamentally the biggest gap in the leadership.
So what does that mean, Gabe, to know yourself?
So leadership is divided in two pieces. And there's leadership, like 60 competencies of leadership, so which is like the branches of a tree, right? And the tree is your life and your potential and who you are. And beneath the earth, there's the roots. And those roots is what we call personal leadership. Personal leadership is composed of six different P, like positive expectancies, peak attitude, passion, purpose, plan of action, etc. And then, but the foundation of taking personal leadership, which is how you lead yourself, is fundamentally the embryo of really knowing self. So having the ability to take full personal responsibility, knowing your actual passions, your purpose, and all that character traits, all that character stuff that's like, that only gets exposed, aware, change, grow over time. And it takes a long time. Like, we use a process called the EPL, Effective Personal Leadership Process, and that's what it's the leadership for 8 months straight. But it's that knowing self that most people don't have, because you can't change something you don't know. And most of us, if not all of us as a human being, we're living like that big elephant in the circus that has a small string around their neck. When the baby elephant had a big chain, but they was conditioned over time not to resist that chain because it was around their neck. We're just like living in a scene of mediocrity when we're born to do great work, but mm-hmm. we can't achieve that great work because we first need to know, like, okay, well, who am I? And actually having an answer to that question.
I wonder why, you know, as many times as I, you know, read a book, listen to a podcast, you know, listen to somebody on stage talk about, you know, personal leadership and personal development, personal growth, why is this something that isn't taught, you know, at a younger age? And I know some of that is, you know, attributed to us as parents, right? And the way in which we teach our children. But it seems like so many people struggle with this one thing. And to your point, it's the foundation of all of what will be in the future for you. Why is this not being taught? I don't even know, like in the school systems.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Like, I don't know, like I'm not even sure if I have an answer to that question. For me, when I hear that question and just like, I already know the solution, we just have to do it. Yeah. So I'm just like, and we're actually starting to do it as some of our local initiatives, like some program for kids, which we're doing with some Boys and Girls Clubs and some high school kids. And
oh, that's right.
There's lots of, for me, I guess it's less of, again, it goes back to taking full personal responsibility, having the victim versus victor mindset. And for me, I'm like, oh yeah, that's great. But then I'm like, I'm already thinking about the solution. Like my brain can't even compute about like, well, that's what should be different. No, I'm already thinking about the solution. Like we just got to be out there. And that's why as parents, it is so fundamentally important for us to lead by example and to be that anchor for kids throughout all that, because there is a gap of what should be teach and thought through schools and kids in younger age. But for us as parents, like we got to be the leaders to lead by example by sharing those ideas. But if you look at John Maxwell, he would probably say it's the know-how, it's the knowledge gap, which is why he personally took a program with LMI in the early 1970s, because he had a knowledge gap. And he didn't know how to grow his businesses. And then he got LMI, and look now.
Okay, so you've said it twice, and I know people are going to be like, what in goodness name is an LMI'd? So what is it to be LMI'd?
It's the cool people.
I'm almost a cool person.
It's the cool people that's been through a program with LMI. No, I'm just kidding. It's any of our graduates. Like we're established in over 80 countries and blah, blah, blah. But for us, it's we have a deep level of gratitude when we have people that's part of the LMI community. We have about 1,000 clients locally, and it's amazing to see how there's that movement against mediocrity. People that feels there's untapped potential in them, and they're willing to take action on that to fill that void.
Mm. So basically, to be LMI'd, you actually have to take a program with LMI. You have to do the presentation and get your graduation certificate, which within the next week I will do. And I will be LMI'd and it will be all over social media. So don't y'all worry. All right. So what are some of your favorite books, podcasts? And I know like you and Steve Daniels have these, like, I don't know if anyone's been noticing the dates he's throwing out. Like he does not have a piece of paper in front of him. He literally remembers, it seems like everything. I feel like I don't remember much. So give me some examples of some books, some podcasts, things that you would recommend people listen to or read as they are on this journey of self-leadership.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Bible aside, books, I would say the one I personally read two to three times a year, which is my second favorite book out of the three books I'll share. I already shared the first one, Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. I'm not sure. Not sure if you've ever heard that book. I read it. I just read it again last month.
Are you digging at me right now? I feel like you're digging. Are you doing that thing? You're poking the bear. I feel it. I'm feeling all anxious.
It is literally my second favorite book. It's a 40-day process of self-discovery of purpose. And I do it all the time just because I believe in spaced repetition.
Yes, you do.
And the third book is The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vince Peale, and I read it yearly. So that's my commitment, indefinitely for the rest of my life. So the purpose-driven life, when I say 2 to 3 times a year, that's indefinitely for the rest of my life. That's a non-negotiable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said spaced repetition. And I know that's something that previous to LMI, I didn't really understand it or, you know why anyone had ever. I heard John Maxwell talk about it a few times, I guess, a couple of years ago. So spaced repetition, why is it important? Why do you do it? What is it for those who don't know?
Yeah, well, it's the same way we learn everything as an adult. Well, it's like learning how to tie your shoe or write or speak or drive a car. When you drive your car, you have done so many spaced repetition that you don't even have to think about the blinker, like your clicker. You do it automatically. So to change your attitude, which is how you think, to impact your behaviors and results, you must first recondition your attitude through spaced repetition. So your attitude, which is how you think, affects how you feel and your actions. So to genuinely make that change from the embryo on a belief system, which affects the feelings and the action and results and then greater success, that comes from reconditioning, which is a fancy word for your habits, through space repetition. So repetition, mother of all skills, Tony Robbins, whatever, but it's the, that's really it. It's simple. It's like the same way we learn the mat at school. 2 times 2, 4 times 4, 12 times 16. I have no clue why, because I haven't practiced it. But the same idea. You can do their affirmation, visualizations, reading books. Like I rather read one book 5 times than read 5 different books.
It's interesting. I actually remember reading an article within the last 12 months. I don't remember the article, but I read an article that literally said that you actually gain more momentum by reading the same book over and over, because you'll find that you pull out different nuggets of information each time based on the season of where you are in your life at that moment, right? Yeah, absolutely.
And you'll get a different story, because your attitude is also different in that specific time in your life. So you can read the same story yearly and you're going to read a completely different story, because you'll be able to respond to the ideas differently because of your mental funnel. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And secondly, stat does show that we only add a book depending on your mental alertness based on how you learn. But generally speaking, we only retain 5%, and in the workshop session, we only retain 10%. That's without any writing notes and application. So for me, like, I'm firm on like actually writing, highlighting, putting notes, and every 14 days I do the summary of my notes and I write it down, do another plan of action. But I constantly focus on the execution, because like, what's the point of investing like 16 hours in reading a book, but my RO time is none, because I'm not doing anything about it. So it's like, why even read a book?
So what I got from this is obviously consistency really is, you know, king, queen. It's the thing that will help you recondition and basically rewire, you know, the neural pathways that you have that are making you do something one way, so that you can do it a different way that leads to, you know, more joy, more success in your life. If you were to give advice to your younger self, you know, let's go back to that jerk that was in correctionals. What advice would you give him, knowing what you know now?
Well, I would just simply say, believe in yourself, which is probably one of the things that we hear almost too often, but it's really important. Like, and it's always easier. Like for me, I'll add this. potentially unique twist. It's a lot easier to believe yourself knowing there's someone else out there that believes in you. So it's a lot easier to forgive yourself knowing when there's someone out there that have forgiven you. It's a lot easier to love yourself knowing that you're being loved. So for me, I didn't believe myself because I didn't quite have that ideology or acceptance or the willingness to open that door, that gateway of like, I'm not perfect. I wasn't meant to be perfect, but in his eye, I am perfectly made. So when I came to the conclusion of like, well, I don't see the worst and the ugly and the bad and the my flaws. But when I realized that, do you know what? Like, that's how you see yourself. But then there's someone out there that sees you perfectly made, and he loves you unconditionally. Well, through the process of accepting that love, then obviously my belief of self completely changed. And it's not like any love also. There's like, the Greek has four definition for love, the Greeks. So I'm referring to, it's called the agape love. The agape love is the highest level of love that you can have in your life. And that's the love from above.
Wow. Very, very, very deep and very insightful. And I think, you know, the reality is, you know, again, regardless of what you believe in, you cannot love another until you love yourself.
Yeah. Right? And it's not like any love, like the second is eroic, I believe, which is like sexual love-ish. And then there's the other one, which is more like family love, like loving your family members. But there's different types of love. And it's not the love, the feeling again. It's the love of like, I don't know, like the action and the choice. And it's much deeper than that. But the actual agape love, which is the love from above, it's through accepting that, then everything else just falls into place. And just like, imagine the freedom you get when you're just like, okay, everything's taken care of. Like, I'm just going to fully trust. And we're going to go through this life, which is extremely finite. And I'm just going to love people. The end. I'm just going to love people. And through the process of loving people, then everything else is taken care of. And that's exactly how I'm currently living my life. And seems to be working all right.
Seems to be working all right. I think it's doing a little bit more than all right based on what I know of you. All right. So to close this up, I want to ask you one of what are, I would say, my favorite question on each episode is to get your understanding or your definition of what is perspective shifting. What does that mean to you?
Perspective shifting. I have no idea.
So what does it mean to shift your perspective?
It means to change. And then to change, you're growing, and you can grow without changing. And it's life. It's the inevitable of going through the steps of living, because there's a few things in life that will happen for sure for everyone. Like, one, we're all gonna die. Like, I'm not sure if people realize this, but we're all gonna die. Like, and if I die today, like, I actually don't mind. Like, I obviously there's lots of hurt and pain and because of whoever else I'm leaving behind, but I know that again they're being taken care of. But for me, when I hear that question, I'm just thinking about how I'm personally changing my own perspective on a lot of things, and dying is an example of like that excites me because I know this isn't home. So I'm just like, peace out. Peace out, homies.
Wow. That definitely is a different perspective for sure. And, you know, and I enjoy the way that you know, it's an evolution, right? You're forever evolving and, you know, changing your worldview and changing your perspectives on this path of self-discovery. And, you know, you're obviously very content with the human that you've become. And you know that this journey does not end here, which is pretty special. Yeah.
100%. Well, Paul Meyer calls it constructive discontent, I believe. So it's like, I'm happy. I'm pretty good. But it's like, I'm at the 0-2% of like where I know I will be in tomorrow or next year, 20 years. Like, it's just, I'm not even scratching the surface, like where I will be. I'm 30 today. So by the time I'm 35, 40 in 10 years time, that's just like, I don't know, like I got another 30, 40 years, which I spent a lot of time thinking about and just serving people.
Like, wow.
Got another 30 years before I'm 60. So I have a lot of people I can reach.
Absolutely.
Here.
A lot of impact that you can make. And I'm positive that you will continue to make that impact on our community and on the leaders that are within our locality and doing what you do best, which is really in your own right, shifting perspectives of what it means to show up with true love in your heart in terms of how you are as a leader and as an entrepreneur. So kudos to you for that. So for those that are listening and they're interested in learning a little bit more about you, where can people find you?
Anywhere.
Are you on TikTok? Because I don't think you're on TikTok.
Exactly. No, I don't do that. I don't do social platforms.
So you are on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. So Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, I started to dabble more. But it's, yeah, I can email website sledage.ca. We have a national website, LMI Canada. We have an international website, LMIworld.com. And yeah, so
awesome.
Facebook is definitely the one I'm definitely the most active on.
Your platform of choice. Perfect. So I'll make sure that I add all those links in the comments below. And thank you so much for your time today and sharing your insight and a little bit of your journey of what it takes to be a leader with love.
Amazing. Awesome.
Have a great day, sir.
You too.